Hey, newsman, had a good week?
It's been a very good one, thanks, web guy.
Yeah, pretty good one for me too. Just thought I'd just, shoot the breeze with you for a second before we get into the business.
Yeah, it's nice to be polite, isn't it?
Now that's out of the way. what are we going to talk about this week? What's happening in the world? I have stumbled across some interesting, it's a bombshell report, I'm going to say, letting us know that being lonely can be as bad for our health as smoking.
That's pretty disturbing, isn't it, given how deadly smoking is? But I'm looking forward to discussing that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that and maybe why people are lonely and how not to be, perhaps. Also, don't know where you were this week if you didn't see video of the Australian basketball team in a Royal Rumble.
I think it's been tagged the Basket Brawl.
I think it was called that about 1,700 times.
That's a lot. 1,700?
1,700. Probably maybe 7,000 is the other way to say it.
Yeah. I like, what was yours? Rumble in the Jungle?
Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah, that's even better.
But it was the most overused headline of the week, wasn't it? Basket Brawl. Whoa. Yeah. Okay.
But no other word describes it so well.
It was more than a brawl, I reckon. Anyway, let's talk about that. Maybe work out
the best way to tag it.
Yeah, or whose fault it was, or how they could have just avoided it. Anyway, we'll get down to the details of that. And then speaking of crazy sporting stories, straight out of left field, a sporting maneuver I had never seen before. I don't know if you had seen the old pretend you're having a heart attack in the middle of the game.
Playing possum. Almost.
Oh, yeah, that's...
But it's not the shrinking violet that you would expect might do this.
No, probably one of the toughest, most rough athletes on the face of the earth. A mixed martial artist. Just some bizarre in-the-ring antics he was getting up to. So we'll talk about that because it's a bit of fun. And also just MMA in general. Do you love it? Do you hate it? Should you hate it?
Should you approve of it?
Should you do it? Should you climb into a cage with another human? Two men enter, one man leave.
Let's do that after this podcast.
It's one newsman and a web guy. Newsman, health warning.
There are a lot of these around, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of warnings. This is a red alert. It's kind of just more of an interesting thing in a way because you think about what is one of the worst things you can do to your body health-wise. What would you say?
Well, I guess unhealthy eating, but probably drinking or smoking or drug taking, that sort of thing.
With cigarettes right up there.
Yeah.
You think bad things to do to your body, smoking cigarettes is up there. We find out now that, excuse me, too many ciggies just before. how's this? Being lonely is worse for you than 15 cigarettes a day. Surprised?
That is, yeah, I am surprised.
Well, we know how bad cigarettes are, you know. Without, you know, wanting to dwell on it. Like, they will kill you. So how bad is being lonely from a health point of view? Like, we know mental health, you know, is that's not going to be good for your mental health. But physically, taking a toll on your body equal to 15 cigarettes, bit of a surprise. I probably wouldn't have predicted
that. Do you know
that.
Any heavy smokers or smokers?
Not really well, no.
I would have thought, would a moderate smoker, a middle-of-the-road smoker, that would probably be their daily intake of
maybe. I
cigarettes.
Guess they say a pack a day is a fairly hefty habit, isn't it? And what, there's probably, I don't know, 30 in a pack or something. So I'd say 15 a day. It sounds like, it's a fair effort. So how is that true anyway? Let's have a look. Quick look. We've learned this from a study of 20,000 Americans.
That's a good sized figure.
A lot of people. Mm. And it turned out that young people are a lot more likely to report being lonely than senior citizens. Generation Z, 18 to 22-year-olds, they scored the highest in this loneliness score. 48. Loneliness score of 48. So whatever that means.
Yeah.
For that age 18 to 22 category. While people over 72 scored a loneliness score of 39. Mm. So something to learn there. The elderly or the older people who you kind of associate with perhaps being a little bit isolated.
Yes.
Maybe being lonely. Feeling less lonely than these whippersnappers in the prime of their lives with more friends than they know what to do with. So something's gone amiss.
Do you think it's got anything to do with a link to technology where anyone under the age of probably 40 is very hooked to whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, and without knowing, that is their way of beating loneliness.
Yeah.
When you're not with people, you're online conversing with people.
Yeah.
Whereas older people, I guess, have had more training, life experience of what life is like to have no connection with other people.
I think this is what you're getting at. The survey found that social media use had no impact on your loneliness. Like, in no way did it improve your sense of loneliness. All that counted was meaningful social interaction.
Face to face.
Yeah, in like real life stuff.
Mm.
Which makes me think, you know, we live in strange times. It's almost, I can see another cigarette comparison where when cigarettes, before we knew the full extent of how bad they were, cigarettes, you know, everyone would just smoke. Yeah, let's smoke, blah, blah, blah. You know, oh, your kid's got asthma? Yeah, have a cigarette. That'll actually help. It was something that they actually thought. Fast forward 50 years from now, and we might look back on this era and think, oh my goodness, look how much time people were spending on social media, not realizing that it was ruining their lives. We would never do that now.
Ah.
I have this sneaking suspicion that because it's all, you know, we were there for when it started.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be some kind of, you know, rebalance at some point.
So the shame that people admit to doing a pack a day of cigarettes, or maybe not shame, but other people judging for having a pack a day, they will look at 65-year-old Marcus and go, oh, you're still a four-hour, you're a four-hour a day. What are you doing? That's rotting your brain. That's stunting your communication skills or something.
Yeah, you'll be there. You'll be 74-year-old Marcus. You'll be like, oh, I know it's bad for my loneliness, but I'm still going to send 10 tweets a day. I've sent 10 tweets a day all my life. I'm not about to stop now.
And there'll be one or two people that survive this and go on to live to 100 and go, I don't care. I've been tweeting all the time and I'm not going to stop now.
Yeah. But everyone else, apart from the extremists, are going to think, oh, you know, this stuff's not, it's apparently, you know, it's not making us happy. Let's focus on what is making us happy.
So does the article say the physical reasons, like it increases your blood pressure or?
I don't know. The article I read might have been just simplifying it a little bit. Mm. They said that being lonely makes you stressed.
Stressed.
And stressed leads to chronic inflammation, which is bad news.
And it's not totally surprising. I think the cigarette comparison is surprising. But that loneliness really has an impact on people. How many studies have we seen where if you put a dog into a nursing home, there's just that real...
A dog?
Not as a resident, as a...
Oh, and it benefits the...
Yes.
Yeah. I completely misunderstood what you said.
Wheeling a dog in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Knitting.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so a pet is introduced to a nursing home and it seems to just release endorphins among the residents and so forth.
Yep. A puppy might be one thing, but there are other ways to alleviate loneliness, which include getting more sleep, spending time with family and exercising, and don't work too much. All sound, you know, really great and fairly obvious, but I don't know. Easier said than done, probably, all of those things.
Mm.
But it'd be interesting if you are feeling like you are a bit lonely. Be interesting to tally up the time you're spending on social media, say, work it out over the week. Oh, this, and probably everyone would be a bit, you know, ashamed to calculate the total time they spent on social media, but whatever it is, however many hours, and it would be in hours really for most people, wouldn't it? And say, all right, I spent that many hours on social media. Instead of that, I'm going to spend, you know, this many hours going and visiting someone. Or something. Yeah. Just taking that chunk of time, even maybe not all of it, just a few hours.
Yeah.
Do any one of those things, or all of them if possible.
Can I get deep, web guy?
Oh, I was hoping you would.
Yeah. Have you ever felt loneliness?
Well, yeah, I think it's a fairly universal thing, isn't it? I think it's probably, I don't go all day, every day, for weeks on end, months on end, feeling lonely. I think that's a problem where the loneliness maybe never lets up. Might be when you start to head into tough territory.
Mm.
But I think just because, you know, just learning to be lonely probably a little bit is not a bad skill to develop in a way.
Yeah.
What about you? Yep.
Well, when you told me this is what we were going to be talking about, I try to recall memories of loneliness, and my first job out of university was up in the Riverland working on a newspaper, and I found that very isolating because you need to find companionship. It doesn't come to you.
Yeah.
I guess when you're around familiar surroundings and friends that you've had for a long time,
yeah,
quite easy. You take it for granted that there is something to do, there is someone to see. So yeah, that was a challenging time in my life, and I found myself joining groups or considering groups, but coming back to Adelaide a lot for the company. So
that was probably in the era before social media even.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so in a way, you were probably lucky that if you had the social media temptation, rather than maybe expanding into some of those other areas, joining a group or whatever, you might have been lured into the easy option of just jumping on Facebook and think, hey, I'm connecting. But really, it's what we're learning is it's worth zero.
Almost joined a musical.
A glee club.
Oklahoma. So maybe social media would have been better.
Hang on. Did you join or did you?
I was offered to join.
You were headhunted for your theatrical ability?
No, just, you know, anything goes. Jump on in.
And interesting that you even weighed it up, because perhaps normally you would not have thought about it, but
yeah, I think maybe it was. Yeah, I think it was one of those things where a filter, you put yourself in a different situation, think, hey,
why not
hang out with people?
Why not
every Tuesday night?
Yeah,
and then take to the boards in a few months' time, and
you can see how people get dragged into the wrong crowd, because, you know, it might be, not everyone gets an offer from a upbeat country theatrical group to join. You know, what if it's someone else is like, oh, come along and join our bikey gang? And you'd be like, well, I'm very lonely, so.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I've got Tuesday and Thursdays free, so if you want to peddle drugs and inflict violence, I'm up for it.
Quick little story for you, newsman. I was sitting down on the couch watching some TV. Really getting into this wrestling match. It was awesome. Loved to see watch a bit of wrestling every now and then.
Oh, it's all phony though, isn't it, wrestling?
Yeah, but you know, it's still fun. And this one didn't look that phony though, actually. And then it was really crazy, like a Royal Rumble situation. And then I realized I was actually watching a basketball match.
Now, I'm guessing you're talking about the match between the Philippines and the Australian Boomers.
Yeah, just carnage. I haven't seen footage like this in any sport, let alone in basketball. Everyone's probably seen it. Just what started as a bit of an on-court biff between a couple of players became a melee with all players and really all coaches, everyone from the sidelines. And then spectators coming down from out of their seats to join in. What the hell? absolutely terrifying stuff.
It's probably one of the few sports left, especially in Australia, where you do actually see a lot of push and shove. And I guess it's because you've got 10 massive guys on a pretty confined space.
Mm.
But this went above and beyond any other basketball incident I've ever seen. It was crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Very true. It went clearly beyond what's normal, though. And the Boomers coach, Luke Longley, said that it was scary. He is, he's 7'7" or something like that. So he was like in the middle of it, not fighting, but just trying to protect his players who were, you know, it was like a stacks on situation.
They went as far as to say, and I think he might be assistant coach, Luke, but could be, I could be proven wrong there, but that he basically saved one of the players' lives.
Yeah.
Because he grabbed, he went in when one of the players was on the ground and in a lot of trouble.
Yes. You know, gangland style stomping happening, really. And that's something I wanted to quickly talk about. You've got this, it really was this, it was like a pack. The pack brain took over.
Mm.
And you can see how bad situations turn tragic, because it was one Aussie guy down, a couple got on top of him, and then a ton of people got on top of him. And just watching the video back, there was too much momentum in this, you know, it became a frenzy. It took like a, you know, a giant of a man to get in there and kind of break it up. You could see that left sort of unimpeded, it was just going to go too far. Any one of those people, I'm sure, would not want to, you know, do, you know, potentially fatal damage to a just a basketballer. But it was heading that way because it was just like a, it was that herd thing just took over.
There was a, I mean, all of the video is powerful, but there was a still shot of, I think it was a photograph of the Adelaide 36ers, Nathan Sobey, getting a punch to the face. And that was like a full-on punch, and that was pretty disturbing as well.
Glad you brought that up. If we can just take the lighter side for a minute, I wanted to post a picture. You know how people make these memes where they take a, you know, a stock footage or a photo of something, and then they'll label the different elements in the picture to create like a funny meme thing?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I should post it. I'll explain it to you. You tell me if it's bad
taste.
I'll go
say, I'll say no now, but let's hear it anyway.
Oh, you think it's out of bounds?
No, no, you might be, you're probably, no, go ahead. I want to
Okay, so the photo you're talking about, Sobey getting punched square in the face, the moment of contact captured on film. I've got that photo. I have labeled Sobey, who's getting punched in the face, as that's me.
Right.
And then the arm coming out of nowhere and slamming him square in the face, I have labelled Year 11 Chemistry.
Why?
Because I did Year 11 Chemistry and it got the better of me.
Yeah.
Is the point of that.
I think I had the exact same experience. Yeah, I'd probably leave it for a couple of months maybe.
Months?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, so you want the relevance of it to... you got to be relevant, don't you?
Anyway, I'm on the fence about it. So anyway, imagine what I also thought about this whole debacle. It's like when you see footage from some place of their parliament just going into chaos. I feel like this footage is being beamed around the world.
It is.
The best, like the most famous NBA stars, the biggest people in basketball are watching this and they're thinking... say what the Australian team, just the fact that we were caught up in it, who started it, whatever, doesn't matter. This is Australian shirts involved in the biggest disgrace in the history of basketball. It's kind of embarrassing in that sense.
From the sporting point of view, the Boomers camp have said they are concerned that NBA teams will now look at that and say, we don't want our precious commodities being involved in playing for Australia, which is, if that's the case, would be pretty disappointing.
Can't blame them.
But yeah, it's normally when you see these all-in brawls, there is no talk of the players feeling, you know, shocked or shaken or worried about their future beyond that incident. But they changed hotels, the Aussie side.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of the players were reportedly very traumatized by the incident, because I actually feel like Australia had a reasonable part in instigating it.
Okay.
But what happened after that seemed over the top by the Philippines. But what does it say about, I guess it shows that the match meant something to the two teams. The stadium where that was held 55,000 people. So there would have been a big atmosphere there.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a worry. From the social media side of it, Tim, I was watching a few people who had posted the video only minutes after it happened, and I was seeing retweets jumping 10 at a time. Do you ever find yourself watching Twitter in action in full flight?
No, I usually have a bit more going on, to be honest. Just sit there and watch the tweet.
I thought maybe some of your tweets might generate that much.
No, it was. I mean, it's a trending topic, isn't it? Mm. It was the talk of the town and the rest of the world. I think that in hindsight, as soon as things went awry, the Australians should have exited the arena.
Mm.
In hindsight, it's just as soon as it went bad, it's like, we're out of here. And then you don't have this vision of, you know, for the next 10 minutes, just this brawling happening all over the place. Just get out of there. But at the time, maybe not practical. And I don't think you can do that in the moment, can you really? That's unrealistic to expect that at that point when the blood's pumping, everyone just rounds up and goes, we're out of here. I think they should have.
And I guess your mindset isn't always... Well, you're just not prepared for a game to be, which it finished early. The game was called off.
Yeah.
You're not expecting that. You'll be like, oh, what, you know, what happens next?
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a big disgrace, a social media sensation. But hopefully, we'll see some more sportsmanlike behaviour by Aussies because it's been a bit of a rough year.
Mixed martial arts, newsman, you know much about that?
Not a lot. I appreciate the strength and the cunning and guile. Is that the word you'd use?
Brute animal force is how I would describe it.
Yeah. But don't know too much about it. But they look like hard-edged individuals that are out for maximum damage.
That's a good way to sum it up. This headline caught my eye this week. A mixed martial artist faked a heart attack, and then things got even weirder after that. Essentially, this one fighter, or do we call him an artist? He's a mixed martial artist, also known as a fighter,
right?
And a pretty heavy guy, it's got to be said, like a big dude.
I always associate these sort of sports with really ripped guys, but the video that you've shown me.
Mm.
They're a little bit jiggly.
There is some jiggle happening. He fakes a heart attack. He kind of grabs at the side of his chest and kind of slumps over. And, you know, kind of looking at him, you momentarily feel like, oh, you know, that could be bad news.
Yes.
He miraculously recovers, however. And having wrong-footed his opponent, he gets the jump on him. And surprise, not having a heart attack after all, pounces on the guy and then starts just walloping him in the face repeatedly for, you know, I don't know how many punches he landed in a row. It felt like a lot.
Yeah. I'd say at least a dozen.
At least. The guy who he was fighting, who I don't know their names, I don't know much about this stuff, but the guy apparently who was getting punched in the face is a legend of the sport. Finally got to his feet, and heart attack man, who had been completely pummeling this guy, tapped out because the guy who was fighting is his idol, and he didn't want to be punching him in the face, even though he had just been punching him in the face repeatedly. I don't know. All of a sudden, he had an attack of conscience or something, and he wanted out.
Mm.
So that means you end the fight, and then they later discovered it was because he felt bad, sort of, in a way.
I was going to compare it to Mark Taylor when he made, I think, a triple century, and he got to Don Bradman's record and said, "Nah, I'm retiring." But really, it's got nothing. You can't compare it. It's just class versus brute thuggery, I reckon.
This is like if Mark Taylor was punching Donald Bradman in the face repeatedly for 1 minute and then let him up and said, oh, I'm sorry, you keep the record. Anyway, it did make me think, because I don't have a huge interest in this stuff. I've never watched it closely. I sort of know enough to know it's not really up my alley.
Mm.
And I realized why watching this clip, because the moment where the guy gets on top of the other guy and is pummeling him in the face, just literally pummeling him in the face, is where I turn off. I just feel like, oh, jeez. And, you know, the fact that the guy even later seemed to, you know, feel a bit bad about it, he himself, I just wonder, this sport for me, and you kind of hinted at it at the start, I like the kind of strategy, the test of strength. You know, it's like the ultimate, it's the ultimate test in a way. One man versus one man, or one woman versus one woman, to the death in a way. But I'd much prefer it to end rather than end in mass bloodshed or knocking someone out, which is, I think, how they usually end.
Mm.
If they could work out a way to, you know, okay, you have now just achieved the upper hand, therefore you automatically win. You don't actually need to do the face pummeling bit. Can't you just get to, all right, you could pummel him in the face now and we're going to stop it.
Right.
And you have won because you could have pummeled him in the face. You don't actually have to go through with it with the pummeling.
Oh, come on, web guy. I think you've just described Olympic taekwondo or karate. It's probably where, unfortunately, people seeing someone outskill someone in martial arts wasn't enough for people. So it went from that, as you said, a very respectful of, I've beaten you in the fight, but I don't have to mash your face in.
Yeah.
Has lost its appeal to the meatheads of the world, I reckon.
Is it like I agree with what you're saying, but at the same time, it is getting a very mainstream appeal, like the UFC, Conor McGregor, blah, 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 like megastar fighters, megastar events. It's not like just this niche little thing for just like, you know, those kind of psychos. Like this feels to be like it is legit. Right. And I wonder, like, is it a bloodlust thing? Is that why it goes so far? Because at the end of the day, that's the payoff. You want to see that? Is it as brutal?
Pretty much. I remember when Ronda Rousey, she was, what's the actual sport she's involved in? What's that called?
She was in UFC, wasn't she?
Yeah. So, and she got absolutely pummeled, lost her world title or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And there was a real badge of honour about how, you know, or, you know, a real interest in her being pummeled rather than concern for her health.
Yes, I know. And what about long term?
Because we've heard in AFL, like, you know, these hits that occur in football are serious, but they don't look anywhere near as serious as repeated fist strikes to the head.
That's right. And I am sure a lot smarter people than me are working on UFC. But it is a relatively young kind of sporting event or tournament or whatever.
Yeah.
There's not that like historical evidence. Only in AFL, which has been going on for, you know, however many, like over 100 years or something. Only now they're starting to piece together, all right, bad stuff happens down the track. You walk off the field and you seem okay. But later on, maybe decades later, not doing so flash. Does the mixed martial arts guys, like, do they? I don't know. They must know about that, the risks. Maybe they don't care. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Going back to that initial fight you were talking about in the video you've shown, that is a tactic that I reckon you pull out of your holster just the one time. I don't think anyone's going to buy it next time. It caught his hero off guard, but can he repeat it?
Well, maybe he would just like fake a new illness each time. Like, oh, now I hurt my knee, or now I'm having a stroke, or now my brain broke. I don't know. Like, it's just something new each time. But you're right. You can only get away with it for so long. Maybe we'll start seeing AFL footballers. You wouldn't get away with it in AFL, would you?
Well, you would once. Save it for the grand final, boys.